So starting now from the bottom of Beis Amud Beis, by the two dots, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the Brisa, sorry, Mishum Rabbi Akiva Amru. In the name of Rabbi Akiva, they said that the Brisa had said, Ein Meshalim Al Pi Atzman, they don't pay based upon their own testimony, their own mouth. So the Gemara says, my time to Rabbi Akiva, what's the reason for Rabbi Akiva? So the man says, Kosova, because he holds Knosahu. He holds that the din hazama, the payment, the punishment of hazama, is a kanas. Knosahu, it's a kanas, it's a fine. The kanas, a mishalma piatzma, and a fine, one does not pay on the mouth of himself. Rashi says, the kanas in the mishalma piatzma, the ksivas, it says in the pasuk, gabe kefal, regarding kefal, the double payment of a thief. Pasuk says, "Asher yashiyun Elohim," that the Elohim, the court, incriminates him. Prat lemarshia es atzmo, and it's specifically the bezdin that makes him bad, makes him evil. Literally, yashiyun, that they incriminate him. Prat means to the exclusion of lemarshia, to the one who's marshia, who makes a rasha es atzmo of himself. The word prat means detail, but it's also an expression to mean to the exclusion of the marshia es atzma, the one who makes bad himself, who's marshia, who incriminates himself. So that's the Gemara. So that's the reason why. So the rest of the reason, it's a kanas. So similarly, regarding the din of azoma, the punishment of azomim, is a kanas, and a kanas you cannot impose upon yourself. So that's why, if witnesses say that they were chusam in a previous bezdin, and now they're chayav to pay because of that hazama, they're being mashir themselves, they're imposing this kanas upon themselves, they wouldn't be obligated in that. The Gemara continues and says, Omer Rabba, Rabba says, Teda, you can know that that's the case. Teda, know that that's true. I'll prove it to you. Shrehilo asa ma'asa, because they didn't do anything. V'naharagim v'shalmim, they didn't do any act which obligates them to be chayiv, the actual penalty per se, the actual specific penalty of money or being executed. Shrehilo asu ma'asa, they didn't do an act for naharagim that we should now kill them, or mishalma they should pay, or they should be killed and they should pay. So that's the reason why. So it doesn't make sense that they should have to pay those things, that amount, based upon their own testimony. So Rashi says, Teda, I can prove it to you, the Kanasahu, that it's a Kanas. Shehamidim b'nefesh, for those who are testifying about a person, lo hargu adam, they didn't kill anybody, v'lo nerag adam al piyam, and no person was killed by their mouth. V'no hargim, mishalmim, mamon, that we should go ahead, or that they should go ahead and be executed themselves and pay money. In other words, the whole concept of the punishment is itself is a chiddush, because they didn't do anything to be guilty of this punishment. So it must be that the din of azama is a kanas. It's not restitution. It's not mominous. It's not a fitting law for what was done, because nothing was done, as the money is still in the hands of the baila. So the Gemara then says, next page, next Amud. So asks the Gemara, my nihu, de lo asa maisa, hanu de rabba. So this means, my nihu de lo asa maisa, hanu de rabba. What does it mean? What is this statement of Rav Nachman? Rashi explains, my nihu. What is it literally? What is the meaning? What is the meaning of Rav Nachman? Rashi says, hi momen biyad bailov. This statement, that Rav Nachman said that the money is in the hands of the Bailam, to come Rav Nachman, the Rav Nachman said, Hainu delu nasa maisa. That means that there was no action which was done. Sha'adayin lo shileim, that he didn't yet pay, the defendant didn't yet pay. Ela shidim medina l'shalem. Rather, his law was adjudicated that he should pay. So, that's the same thing, the Gemara says, Hainu de rabba. That's the same thing that Rabbah said. I mean, it's all the same thing. Rabbi said that we know it's a kenas because they didn't do anything and they're paying. So another way of saying that is the money's still in the hands of the defendant. So what's Rav Nachman adding on over here to what Rabbi said as a proof that it's a kenas? So the Ran says, Eima, I'll say back, v'cheinom Rav Nachman, that what the Gemara means to say is that, and similarly Rav Nachman said the same thing. So Rav Nachman said the same thing, that it's a kenas because there's no action being done by the Edom Zomim to warrant this particular penalty. And also, the money is still in the hands of the violent. It's all the same point, basically. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Eid Zomom Meshalim Lefi Chalkam. So he said that an Eid Zomom pays according to his chalak. So that's going to be the question now, that what this means. What does it mean that he pays Lefi Chalkam according to his portion, his chalak? So my Meshalim Lefi Chalkam. What does it mean that he pays Lefi Chalkam? If you'll say that this aid pays half, and this aid pays half, so for example, let's say the two Edom are being mechayev Reuven to pay $100 to Shimon, and they're found to be zomamim. So if Rav Yehuda meant to say that they split up the money between the two of them, it can't mean that, because Tanina, we already learned that in the Mishnah explicitly. I mean, Rav Yehuda is an Amora, he wouldn't say something which is already in the Mishnah. We already learned this in the Mishnah. Tanina, we learned this in the Mishnah. Mishal Shalom Amom Vein Mishal Shalom Malkus, that we split up the money, that the Edom Zomim share the money that they have to pay, but they don't share the Malkus. Vein Mishal Shalom Malkus, they don't split up the Malkus. So this word Mishal Shalom comes from the word shalosh, which means three, but it means to split up. See Rashi over here. Mishal shalom b'mamon, we split up the money. Im shlosha edim hein or arba, if let's say there are three witnesses or four witnesses, mishal shalom b'nehem, they split it up between all of them. Now bezd is meaning to say bezdin nasin shlish b'nehem. The bezdin becomes a third party. Shlish from the word three. Bezdin becomes a third party b'nehem among them, lashvoson, to equalize them, the pirayon, with the payment ish lefi chalko, each man according to his portion. So that's where the word shalosh comes from, because the bezdin is like the third party to make everything equal between all the witnesses, whether it be three, four, five, they share it equally. That's one pshat in the word mishalshlin. Inami, another pshat is, hi mishalshlin, this word mishalshlin is lishna be'alma, is just an expression. Mechalkalin, hapiroyim ben shloshton, they divide the payment between all three of them. So the word mishalshlin would apply to a situation where there are three witnesses. They divide the payment between three of them, all three of them. So the same law would apply also in Arba, Hain, Marabba'in. If there are four, they would be Marabba'in. They would quarterize it, make it quarters. So it's just they're just using Mishalshalin, for example, if there are three witnesses. But in any event, Rav Yehuda couldn't have met this, because that's already in the Mishnah there. So what does he mean when he says that an Eid Zomim is Mishan Lefi Chalko? So the Gemara continues and says, Ela Rada Kigon, for example, the Itazum Chad Minayim. For example, one of the two witnesses were Huzum. Itazum, one of them, Chad Minayim, one of them was Huzum, and the other one wasn't. So such that the Gemara says, the Mishalim Palga Didei, that he has to pay his portion, his half. In other words, only one of the witnesses was Huzum, so the one who was Huzum, he pays his half. Maybe that's what Rav Yehuda meant. The Mishalim Palga Didei, he pays his palga, he pays his half. So ask the Gemara if that's the case. So Mishalim, would he have to pay? Would he have to pay for Hatanya? We learned in the Braisa Ein eid zomam, meshale mamun ad sheyazumu shneihem. An eid zomam does not pay money until both of them are huzum, until both of the two witnesses are huzum. So that can't be what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav said. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Rava says that this is what Rav, Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, means to say. Ba'omer edus sheker ha'adati. It's speaking about a case where he says, edus sheker ha'adati. One of the witnesses said, I testified falsely. Meaning to say that I was, you know, the two witnesses trying to be Mechayev Reuven to pay Shimon $100, and then one of the witnesses says, I'm lying. I was really lying about that. And if he's lying about it, so then he wants to now, you know, he's basically making himself into an Eid Zoma. And the Gemara is suggesting, Rav is suggesting, that's maybe what Rav meant to say, that he's making himself into an Eid Zoma by saying, I was lying about that testimony. So the Gemara right away rejects that and says, Kol Kamine, which means, Kol Kamine is an expression. Does he have the power to do that? Kol Kamine, I'm not sure exactly the derivation of it, but it means, does he have the power to do that? Because Kivin Shehigit Shuvena Chosa Magid, the rule is, once a witness testifies, once he speaks, Kivin Shehigit, since that he's spoken in Bezdin, Shuv, again, or furthermore, he's not allowed to return and speak in Bezdin. As she says, Kol Kamine, B'tmiyah, with surprise, meaning read this line with an exclamation of surprise. T'miyah means surprise. B'tmiyah, with surprise, read it. V'kiyochel hu l'arzobo, is he able to go back on his testimony? V'yiftor ha'nidon v'l'shalem, and exempt the nidon from paying, the defendant from paying. That's the rule. Once an aide testifies in court, he can't retract on his testimony. So Ella, the Mora says, Ella, Ba'omer, rather, Rav meant to say the following, that Omer, he's discussing a case where someone says, He adnu, v'huzabnu v'bezdim ploni. We testified, and we will huzum in a different bezdim. So one of the witnesses says that. We testified, me and him, we testified, and we were huzum in a different bezdin. Rashi says, "He'adnu, we testified, ani uploni, I and so and so, this other witness, the chaveiro ein amoda, but his friend is not admitting to this fact that they were huzum in the other bezdin. And therefore, if we're talking about Yehuda and Levi." So Yehuda says about him and Levi that they were husband in the previous bezdim. So Levi doesn't admit to that, but Yehuda does, and the suggestion right now is that that's what Rav meant, that Yehuda now has to pay lefi chalko, he has to pay his portion. So the Rav says, Kaman, who does that go according to? To lok Rabbi Akiva, that can't be like Rabbi Akiva. To ikra Rabbi Akiva, because it was like Rabbi Akiva. Ha'omar, he said, Afein Meshalma Piatzma, he doesn't pay. Even he does not pay on his own mouth, on the mouth of himself. We learned this before, that it's a kanas. Rabbi Akiva holds that the din of azom is a kanas, and a person does not pay a kanas on his own testimony. So this is the meaning of Rav's statement of Mishal Lefi Chalko, that he's paying because of his admission that he was huzum in the previous bezdin. So that's not like Rabbi Akiva. So in order to make it come out like Rabbi Akiva as well, or make to explain Rav that it shouldn't only be according to the Chachamim of Rabbi Akiva, but it could also make sense even according to Rabbi Akiva, there's another way to understand Rav's statement. Ella rather ba'omer he'adnu v'huzma b'bezdin ploni. Another way to understand it is that he's saying we testified and we were huzm in a different bezdin. V'chuyavnu mamon, and we were also obligated money there as well. So if Yehuda, in our example, Yehuda and Levi, the two witnesses, if Yehuda says, we testified, we were huzum, and we became obligated in a different bezdin, mamon, so then even a contra b'kiva, he would have to pay lefi chalka, according to his own portion. Let's see Rashi there. Rashi says, v'chiyavnu mamun, we became obligated money, bebezdin, in bezdin, shehuzamnu, that we were huzam, v'hamidonu, v'hamidenu, hanidon, bedin, al hazmosonu, and the nidon stood us up in din on our hazama, meaning that we were basically proven to be zomamim. V'chayavunu bezdin, we became obligated in that bezdin. That's a critical point now. By saying we became obligated in the bezdin, so now Rashi says, "Mahu shaita." From that moment, "Mamona hu gabay." Now it was money by them. From the moment that they say we were obligated, it's no longer kanas. You see, if the witness said we were huzam in that previous bezdin, so now there was the verdict didn't come down completely to say we were chayiv in money. So then that's a problem of saying that he's like, then that's called obligating oneself a kanas, not like Rabbi Akiva. But if the witness said that we were huzam plus the verdict came down that now we are high of money to pay money to the nidon, to the defendant, so now it converts into momen, into a monetary obligation. So Rashi said to Mahu Shaita, from that moment, it now became money by them. That's not called being marshi, it's not called incriminating oneself in this second bezdin by saying we were huzam in the other bezdin. Why? Shekavar Heshua Elohim, because the bezdin now had already incriminated them and had been mechayev of the money. If he just, like we originally said, if he just said that we were huzam in that previous bezdin, then what he's saying in this second bezdin is he's trying to mazim himself. He's imposing a kanas upon himself. But if he says that we were mechuyev in the previous bezdin to pay money, for whatever reason, it doesn't really make a difference at that point why we were mechuyev to pay money. So it was the bezdin that were mashia them in that previous bezdin, according to the testimony of this one individual. So now he has to pay that amount, which he says he's chayev to pay. So the Gemara concludes and says, Kasalka daita chamina. So you may think to say, or I may think to say, Kiva de lechavre le motzi mechayev, since to his friend he can't obligate him, so yunami le mechayev, maybe he's not obligated himself. Kamash malon, that's why he is obligated. Rashi says, Kiva de lechavre le motzi mechayev, he can't be mechayev his friend in this. Sheina nemon al chavre, he's not believed about his friend, but since he's not believed about his friend, you may think that he's not believed about himself. Kamash malon, that he is believed about himself, and he has to pay. That's what Rav meant when he says an eid zom is mishalem lefi chalko, pays according to his portion. Now the next Mishnah is the Mishnah, and the Gemara by itself is pretty simple to read and understand on one level. But over here we have a Rashi, which is a very big one and very complicated. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the Mishnah and the Gemara first, just superficially, and then explain what's going on, explain the Rashi outside, and then we'll read it inside. So it's a tricky sugya. The Mishnah says, "Me'idim anu es ish plone shegirish es ishta." We testify about a certain individual that he divorced his wife, but he didn't give her kasuba. So witnesses come to Bezdin and they say about Ploni that he divorced his wife, but he hasn't paid her the kasuba, and he owes her the kasuba. So we're going to say, for the example, that the kasuba is 100 zuz. 100 zuz are a mana. 100 zuz, $100, I may slip into using $100, but 100 zuz is the value of the kasuba. And the kasuba is what, obviously, her husband is obligated to give in the event of his death, or he divorces her. But also, in many, many situations, a plot of land was designated for the value of the kasuba, and that will come into play as well. So these witnesses are saying that he is chayav to pay the kasuba. Now, the question is this, is if they're found to be zomamin, and we apply to them the din they're trying to impose upon this man, so to say that they're now chayav to pay him $100, because they're trying to mechayav him to pay $100 to his wife, is not really so emes. Why? Because the Mishnah says, v'halo bein hayom u'bein l'machar, could it not be, that between today and tomorrow, u'bein hayom u'bein l'machar, between today and tomorrow, between tomorrow, sofo, his end, his eventuality, could be, litain, to give, la, to give to her, kasubasa, her kasuba. He may anyway have to pay the full $100. So to say that he has to pay, the Edom have to pay $100 to him because they're being mafsid $100 to him, they're being mafsid him, they're causing a loss of $100, is not really so true. Because he may have to give that $100 anyway to her if he dies or he divorces her. So therefore, alternatively, the Mishnah says, we do the following. Omdim, we assess, we assess the market value of the kasuba, what it could be sold for. Omdim, we assess, kama odom rotsa litein b'kasubasa shalzu, how much would a person want to give for this kasuba, for the kasuba of this woman? Recognizing the fact, she'im nis almana, that if she was widowed, or nisgarisha, or divorced, right, if she's widowed or divorced, then the buyer would receive the value of the kasuba. And on the other hand, the mesa, and if she dies and she doesn't get it, yirshena bala, then the husband will inherit her. So the buyer is going to be considering these possibilities. How much would I be willing to pay for this kasuba right now? So that on the one hand, if she gets divorced or she's widowed, I'll get the kasuba. The buyer will get the kasuba. But on the other hand, maybe she's going to die first before him, and then I'm going to lose everything. I'm not going to get it because the husband's going to receive it. He's going to just keep the kasuba, keep the money for the kasuba. So what's the market value of this kasuba? So that's the simple reading of the Gemara, of the Mishnah. Now let's just see the Gemara first before we launch into the full explanation. The Gemara says, Ketzad, Shomin, how do we assess this? Now, the word Shomin is essentially the same word as the word Omdim from the Mishnah, which means to assess. So, Ketzad Shomin, how do we assess this value, the value of the Kasuba? Amar Rav Chista said, Babal, we make the assessment literally upon the husband, in terms of the husband's right. We'll see what this means shortly. Rav Nosson bar Oshia says, Omer says, Beisha, we make the assessment on the basis of the woman. Omer Rav Papa said, Beisha uva kusuvasa, we do it with the on the basis of the wife and her kasuba. So, not so clear. So let me now try to explain this outside before we look into Rashi. So basically, the issue is this, is that, as I said, that the amount of money which the Edom are being mafsid the husband is not exactly the $100 of the value of the kasuba. So if we just imagine we're standing in Beis Din and we're watching this case taking place, and the witnesses had come in and they're testifying that he owes the kasuba to the wife, and he's pulled out a wad of bills for $100, he's about to give it to her, and then the second set of witnesses come in and they're mazim, they falsify the first witnesses and they say, stop, he's not chayav to pay that $100 to the wife because they're lying. So now Beis Din has to figure out exactly how much are they being mafsid? How much were these Edom Zomim trying to be mafsid the husband at this point in time? So what they do is, we have to look at the how much the husband could sell, or how much is the value of this kasuba? What is the value right now of this kasuba if it could be sold? And in the specifically the difference but it means to assess, to calculate. So Ketzet Shaman, how do we assess this amount that the Edom have to pay? Amr of Chister, if Chister says, Bebal. They assess it on the Baal, on the husband. B'nosin bar Oshia, Oma B'isha. He says, B'nosin bar Oshia says, B'isha, on the woman, or with the woman, with the wife. Amr of Papa, if Papa says, B'isha b'kusubasa, with the wife and her kasuba. Okay, so that's the Gemara, and words are simple, but what exactly what it's saying is ambiguous. So we're going to go into the Rashi right now and explain this. Now, it's, as I mentioned before, it's a tricky sugya. So I'm going to do the best I can to translate this and explain it in a way which makes it understandable. So bear with me, because I may be, as I'm going through this, refining it and trying to work it out as I go along. But I'll do the best I can. Here we go. So the first Rashi is Ketzet Shomin. How do we assess? How do we assess the amount that the Edom have to pay? Koloma, this means to say. So Koloma always means that there's going to be a more of an expansive explanation beyond this, just the plain meaning of the Gemara. So Koloma, this means to say. Maika mechayiv lehu lemesav. What is the Mishnah obligating them? What is the Mishnah obligating them, lehu them, lemesav, to give? The yesh lifter a Mishnah seinu l'shnei tzedadim. For there is to explain our Mishnah l'shnei tzedadim, to two sides. There are two ways to explain the Mishnah of what they should be paying. L'shnei tzedadim, to two sides. Ketzad, how so? Hare yesh li'ish li'isha. Behold, there is to the wife, to the husband, ula isha, and to the wife, zuchus sofek b'kusuba zu. Zuchus sofek means literally doubtful merit. A doubtful merit. So, loosely translated, I say, would be potential benefit. Potential right, potential merit, benefit. So there is to the husband and to the wife a zuchus sofek, a potential benefit, b'kasuba zu, in this kasuba. Because the kasuba has aside from the actual value or the amount that the kasuba stipulates, which we'll use throughout this discussion, 100 zuz. 100 zuz, or one mana. One mana is 100 zuz. If I slip into saying $100, please excuse me. So, aside from the actual amount stipulated in the kasuba of 100 mana, 100 zuz, there's also a value to the kasuba as a document. As a document that it gives that there's a value to this kasuba as a document in terms of that you could sell the rights of this in this kasuba. So that's what Rashi is explaining now. That there's the husband and wife, each both respectively have a different right in the kasuba, which changes the value to each of them. As follows, he mitzapa, she would expect. The word mitzapa is to yearn for, to look forward to anticipate. So not that she's really anticipating, she wants this to happen, but she's anticipating, hypothetically, theoretically, she'im yomus, that if he dies, if the husband dies, or yigarshena, or he divorces her, so then tigba eskula, she'll collect the entire amount. She'll collect the whole thing, so she'll get the 100 zuz, if he dies or he divorces her. That's her expectation, that's her, I wouldn't say hope, but that's certainly in the back of her mind, that's the value that this kasuba has to her. For whom it's up, on the other hand, he anticipates, Shim Thomas, that if she should die, Bechayov, in his lifetime, Yershena, he'll inherit her. So they're the respective benefits, or the respective outcomes for this kasuba. Either she's going to eventually get it, because he's going to divorce her or die,
or he's going to eventually, or not eventually, he's just going to continue retaining it if she dies first. So comparing the two, these two benefits and the value of each of these benefits, Rashi says, Yofa koach zechuso mikach zechuso. The koach of his zechus is yofa, is nicer, better, mikach zechuso, than the koach, the strength of her zechus. His benefit has more value in the marketplace than her value, than her value. Because, Rashi says, Shuhu ochal peiros hakarka, because he's eating the peiros of the karka, the fruit of the land, hamayuchad lekusubasa, which is designated to her kasuba, tamid, all the time. Now my understanding is that it could, many times a kasuba will have a plot of land which is assigned for that, for the value of the kasuba. So if that's the case, so the husband has the primary rights to that plot of land. It's his land that he's designating for the kasuba. So the circumstances are such that while they're married, he's eating the pears. He's able to eat the pears. It's his property. It's his land. He's eating all of the produce of the land. Whatever the land produces, he's eating the pears of the karka, meyuchu lekasubasa, which is designating for the kasuba, all the time through their marriage. For lo he, and not her, because it's not her piece of land, it's not her, therefore she doesn't have, I mean, obviously he can give them, give the pears to her, but they're not hers. Ve'od, and moreover, shehu muchzak ve'omed, that he is muchzak, he has a chazaka, he has a stronghold, he has possession, ve'omed, in his standing, he has possession and his standing upon that land. He's the one, he's the baal, he's the owner of the piece of land. So there's much more of a ownership, so to speak, of the land which is designated for the kasuba by the husband more than her. For he and she, on the other hand, is mechsura guvaina. She is lacking of collection. Mechsura, from the word chaser, she is deficient, she's missing. Guvaina means collection, meaning that the only way she's going to be able to take possession of this land is only if he dies or divorces her, and then she has to go through the legal process of then gaining, you know, actual legal ownership, legal rights, legal possession of the land itself. So now, a person who's buying the kasuba as a right, as a benefit, so he's thinking about that. The person who's buying that looks at this kasuba and says, you know, this, if I want to now buy the right of this kasuba from him, from the husband, well, actually, let's just read a few more words of Rashi. And if these two people came, the husband and the wife, they both came, limkor, to sell la'acher to somebody else. Zuzuchu sefeka, this one, the wife, her potential benefit in the kasuba, and the husband, this one, his potential benefit. So it says, shelo nimkar b'yosa, his benefit, his value of the kasuba would be sold b'yosar, much more so mishelo, than hers. His potential benefit has more value than her potential benefit, for the reason Rashi just gave, because he's, you know, he's in the land, he has possession of the land, he's eating the pears of the land. So there's, if he sells the right of this land, because what's he doing is let's say it's worth 100 zuz, and let's say he sells it, let's say it has a value of 50, meaning to say that the person buying it pays 50 for this kasuba to take over possession and eating the pears of the land, and B, potentially keep the whole thing if she dies before the husband. So he's not going to pay obviously $100 for it, because it's not, because she may die. He may die first. He may lose it. But the buyer is thinking about maybe she's going to die. first, and then he'll be able to continue staying in the land. But it's now if the husband sells his right to the kasuba, if the wife sells her right to the kasuba, it's not as expensive. The reason is because what's her right to the kasuba? Her right to the kasuba is that if the husband dies or he divorces her, then she'll get that piece of land for the kasuba worth $100. But in the meantime, she has no right in it. She's not even the payer. She's not in the possession of the land. So therefore, the buyer, from a buyer's point of view, I'm not going to pay as much because, you know, all I'm getting is I'm only buying this kasuba for the potential benefit that I'll get the whole thing later on in time. But in the meantime, it's just sitting there in the husband's possession. He's eating all the payers from it, so it's less expensive. I'd be willing to pay only less money for that. So let's use an example of the value of hers. If she sold it, it would be 40. That's the example we're going to use. I think Rashi is going to use those numbers later on. But so her value or the amount she would sell it for would be 40, because it's worth less to the buyer because the person's not in the land, wouldn't be able to be in the land, either the payers, etc. And the amount that the husband would sell it for would be more. So because of this differential, so now we continue. Rashi continues. V'lishna de misnisa, and the wording, the language, the wording of our Mishnah is mashma, implies shashomen zuchus sofeka, that we do indeed assess the potential benefit that she has, the value of her zuchus sofek, de katani, because we learned in the Mishnah. Kama adam rot salitain, how much would a person want to give in this armula, that if she became single, she was divorced, or she was widowed? I think the word this armula literally is became was single. I think it covers both circumstances of divorce or death of the husband. How much would a person want to give? The Mishnah says, how much would a person want to give that to give to her, that if she was widowed or she was divorced, right? How much would she want to sell her rights in the kasuba? So the problem that is that by saying by factoring in or calculating how much a person would want to give on the tzad that she's going to get the kasuba. So says Rashi, for haleka lemeimar. There isn't to say, you can't say she'us and domim, that money, or those, literally, domim means monies, plural, those monies, that money, the 40, which I said before, the example of 40 zuz, you can't say that money, yitnu azomim, the zomim should give that money to the husband, because shari lo zuchus sveikah, bo lahafsida, they're not coming to cause a loss of her zuchus sofek. That if we're going to calculate how much she would be willing to sell her kasuba for, and that now in this situation, because you know the husband right now, the eidim right now are making him pay $100 right now, right? So because if they were successful in making him pay $100, all of these potential sales wouldn't exist, and that's why. I didn't really say this clearly enough. We're in Beis Din. We're seeing this thing take place. The Eidim are here, and they're making the husband pay $100 to the wife right now for the kasuba. So, again, just to recap, we can't say that the Eidim have to now pay him $100 because of their false testimony, because he anyway may have had to pay the $100. We're not looking at that. We're looking at what are they, if they were successful in making him pay $100 to the wife, what did they stop happening? What did they block from the two of them? By making him pay the $100 right now, so then all these opportunities of selling the kasuba, all of these opportunities, the future opportunity of this kasuba, vis-a-vis the husband and the wife, would no longer exist. In other words, he's like, you know, you could imagine, like, he's thinking to himself, oh my goodness, I'm paying this $100 right now, I could have sold my kasub. I could have sold this kasub. You know, that's stopping. I had plans. I mean, just theoretically, I had plans to sell my kasuba to sell this kasuba to somebody else, and I would have made. You know, in the example I gave for his zuchus sofik was selling. He could sell his right in the kasuba for $50. So, and he could have made $50, and now he's paying $100 to the wife. He's losing 50, right? So, and then she's thinking to herself, well, she's actually, you know, gaining right now because she's getting the $100 right now. But what's being lost, you know, hypothetically, she's being prevented from selling her zuchus sofik also. That's the facts on the table, on the floor right now. These edim are blocking the possibility of this kasuba being sold by each of them for their respective amounts. Now, the problem with saying that with thinking about how much she could have sold her kasuba, how much she could sell the kasuba for, and she's being blocked from doing that. Well, that's not relevant. I mean, it's not. We don't care about how much she could sell the kasuba for. What we're more concerned about is how much he could have sold the kasuba for, because he can no longer sell the kasuba, because he's being made to give the kasuba right now. So he's being prevented from selling the kasuba. So that's what we're concerned with. Why are we thinking about how much she could have sold the kasuba for? And I'll just read those words again. They're not coming, the witness is not coming to make him lose. They're not coming to make him lose her zuchus sofik. Rather, his zuchus sofik, they're coming to make him lose. They're trying to prevent him. They're thereby preventing him from being able to sell his kasuba if he wanted to. Because they're obligating him lefroa to pay it miyad right now immediately. So really, what the Mishnah should have said, the Mishnah should have just simply said that we assess how much this man, this husband, is losing out by not being given the opportunity to sell his rights to the kasuba, because since he could have sold his rights to the kasuba for $50. He would end up losing $50, and now they're making him pay $100. So that would be the simple way to assess his loss. Again, we're not going to say that they have to pay him $100 because he may have divorced her anyway. But at least he's losing out the opportunity to be able to sell the kasuba for $50, and then his loss would have only been $50, and that's what they should be mechayvim to pay. So why are we even concerned with how much she could have sold her rights to the kasuba? What relevance does that have? So Rashi explains, Vayesh Loma, to say the following. Tahachi ka'ama, that this is hachi ka'ama, this is what the Mishnah means to say. Shaman zuchus sveika, we assess how much her zuchus sofik is. Kama adam rotza litein, how much a person would want to give, litain to give, but tovas hana shala. Now, tovas hana literally means the goodness of benefit, the goodness of benefit, her goodness of benefit. So it's really the similar idea to what we zuchus sofik, but it's how much would a person want to give for her benefit in this kasuba. Va'oso. But yet, that amount of how much a person would want to give. Now, the example we gave is a person would only give $40 for her zuchus sofik, right? For her benefit in the kasuba, because remember, she's not in possession of the land, she's not eating the peiros of the land. It's only pure potential for her. So we assess how much a person would want to give for her benefit, which would be 40. But that amount, lo yishalmu. The witnesses don't pay that amount because it doesn't make a difference what she would sell hers for. Here's the clincher. The chol hashar yishalmu. And it's the entire remainder that they would have to pay him. The remaining amount, 60, right? Why? Shekol hashar, that the entire remaining amount, hayu mafsidin oso be'edusan, is what they are causing him a loss of in their edus. Hayu mafsid, and they're making him lose, also making him, also him, be'edusom, with their testimony. The remaining amount of 60 is what they are actually causing him a loss of. We'll explain this in a second. Aval oson domim, but those monies, the 40, that money, the 40, lo hayu mafsid and oso, they're not making him lose that amount. And the reason is, shaharei, that behold, gam ata, also now, kashuhuzmu, when they have been huzum, when the witnesses have been huzum, im hoysa, rotsa lemochra, if she would have wanted to sell it, if she wanted to have sold her right to the kasuba for 40, yitin lo habal, the husband could give to her. Baratzen, willingly, tovas hanazu, this tovas hanaz, this benefit, the husband could have paid her. He could have paid her the 40. I mean, even though it doesn't seem logical that a husband can pay off the wife for her kasuba, because she has to remain, you know, keep the kasuba in her hand. The whole idea of marriage, the woman has to have a kasuba. The Mefarshim do discuss this, but we're not going to get into this right now. But technically speaking, he could have paid her off. He could pay her off. And, you know, what's happening is that the witnesses over here are blocking that. I mean, if the witnesses wouldn't have been huzum enough, and they would have succeeded in obligating him to pay the $100 to the wife, so then he's losing 100, right? But he could have paid her off and only lost 40. So that make him lose a total of 60. So that's the idea, that's the benefit, or that's the rationale of assessing how much she could sell her rights to the kasuba, because she could sell it to him, and he minimally would have only lost $40. And now the witnesses are now trying to make him lose an additional 60. So that's the perspective of figuring out how much she could sell it for, because that will tell us how much he's losing, because he's losing the remaining amount of 60, and that's how much the Eidim would have to, now the Eidim Zomim, they're found to be Huzum, they would have to pay the husband the 60, the difference. That's one side of the analysis, but the Rashi continues to explain the other side of the analysis, from the point of view of how much he could sell his right to the kasuba. O Dilmor, perhaps, zuchus sveiko, comma, or maybe, or perhaps, his potential benefit, the Mishnah is referring to, speaking about, masnissin, our Mishnah, de l'shayimu, that they should assess. Ve'osin domim yitnu, and those monies they should give, her aid and the witnesses should give, how much he could sell it for. Now, remember we said that that he could sell his right to the kasuba for 50, because his value or his benefit in the kasuba right now, or the fact because the plot of land is designated for the kasuba, and he's muhsak in the land, and he's eating the pears of the land, that's what makes that his right to the kasuba more expensive to the buyer. So now, as Rashi says, va'osin domim, those monies is what the Eidim, these monies is what the Eidim should give, the 50. Now, 50 is less than 60, the other perspective. V'lomachayavin lehu kulihai, and we would not obligate them, kulihai, so much, shiitnu kola kasuba chutz metovas hana sa, the entire kasuba, except for the tovas hana, the benefit that she has in it, right? In other words, maybe we don't obligate the witnesses to give the higher amount of 60. The difference between how much he could have paid for it and how much he's now having to pay her because of the witnesses' testimony, which is higher. Maybe we don't obligate the witnesses to give that much money. Why? Deshema, that perhaps lo haya nifsad. Perhaps he did not suffer a loss, would not have lo haya nifsad. he would not have suffered a loss. Lo chaya, he would not have nifsad from the hefsed, suffered a loss. Beidusan, with their testimony, kolkach, so much. Maybe he wouldn't have suffered such a large loss of 60. Why? Sha'af ata, that even now, kishehin zomamin, when they are zomamin, shema yomus mochar, perhaps, or lest, he will die tomorrow. Yomus mochar, he could die tomorrow. V'dik tikba hakol, and then she would end up collecting the entire thing. Ki hi lo tim karena, for she will not sell it lo to him, but tovas hana, for the tovas hana. In other words, the point is, his ability or his saving of 60, right, and him or that, and then consequently the witnesses causing him a loss of 60, is contingent upon the possibility that she would sell the kasuba to him, because she doesn't know whether or not she may die before him and then not get anything. So if it's better for her to just sell it for 40, so her husband gets at least something. But that may not happen. Maybe he'll actually die tomorrow and she could collect the whole thing. So to say that the witnesses have to pay him 60 because they're stopping him from saving 60, right? That's all tolerate dependent upon the fact that she would actually sell it to him. But we don't know what's going to happen. You know, maybe she wouldn't sell it to him. I mean, you can't ask these questions. These are all just hypotheticals. What could have happened? So that's what Rashi is saying. We don't to say that he's chayiv, the witnesses are chayiv to pay the higher amount, is not so poshut, because it depends upon whether that is how much the husband's really losing out. However, aval tovas hanaso, but the tovas hanaso, his benefit yitnu lo, they would give to him. Shekachayim of sidinoso, that is how much they are being mafsid him, they're causing him a loss of. Shem lo huzmo, because had they not been huzm, hoy pere miyad, if they weren't huzm, he would be paying immediately, right, the whole thing of 100. Achshav, but now, Rashi's saying that according to the other tzad, that you don't pay, they don't pay the higher amount. The rationale, the way of thinking of this is, no, you don't, that's not, we they don't have to pay him that much money, because we don't know he would have suffered that size of a loss. But the other side of it, of maybe him selling it, that's what this opinion is saying now, that it's, no, how much he could sell it for, that's how much he's losing out. Because right now, if they wouldn't have been huzum, he's paying the entire thing, pareh miyad, he's paying the whole thing immediately. Achshav shehuzmo, but now that they're huzum, yesh lo ba zuchus sveiko, now he goes back, there is to him in it his potential benefit, kapetachila, like it was originally. And therefore, all they'd have to pay him is just that, is the loss that they're increasing for him above the 50, which is 50. So then the Mishnah, then Rashi continues, v'she'unis armulad masnise, and when the Mishnah says she'im nisarmala, that if it's actually the Mishnah doesn't say that those wording, the word Mishnah says, we said nisalmana or nisgarasha. So I had said, I'm just not clear if nisarmala is another word for nisalmana. Nisalman means widowed, but since the Mishnah speaks about widowed or divorced, that's why I had a hunch that nisarmala is become single. We have to check that out. So again, I don't know if that means widowed or become single. If it means widowed, it means just a synonym for this almana. If it means single, it's a word which covers both becoming single, becoming widowed or divorced. Okay, but he says v'shimnis armula de mastisin, and the phrase of this armula of our Mishnah hachi karma hachi ka'ama. This is what the Mishnah means to say. Omdim, we assess. Kama adam rotza litein, how much would a person want to give, but kasuba zu, for this kasuba, shehi taluya, that is hanging, besofik, hanging in doubt, she'im nisarmala, that if she would become nisarmala, tigbena, she would collect the entire amount, tigbena he, she would collect the entire amount, the Mesa, and if she died, Yershenda Baila, her husband would inherit her. Veshon Bezdin, and Bezdin assesses as Zuchus Feiko, they assess his Zuchus Sofik. What Rashi's saying is that he started off by saying that the language of the Mishnah is ambiguous, because why are we assessing the possibility of her, how much a person would want to pay on the contingency, on the possibility that if she becomes widowed or divorced, that she'll get the whole thing. How much would she want to sell her right in that for, right? And that was Rashi's question. Why do we care about that? So Rashi explained, because according to one tzad, one possibility is we assess that in order to figure out the difference, like we went through, right? So that explains that language. Now the other tzad though is that we don't assess that. We don't care about the difference. We care about how much he could sell his right in the kasuba for. So we're now back to the same question then. So then why did the Mishnah mention anything about the possibility of her becoming widowed or divorced? You know, we're back to that question. So why does the Mishnah need to say that? So Rashi is explaining now, very simply, according to that second tzad, the reason why the Mishnah says that is because, I'll read this again, we assess how much a person would want to give this kasuba for this kasuba, which is hanging in this doubt. That's the critical words. This kasuba that is hanging in the doubt. Shimt in the sarmula, that on the one hand, if she becomes single, tigbena, here she'll collect it. But in mesa, yershena, but on the other hand, if she dies, yershena bala, then us will inherit it. Vishon bezne zuchus feika. But the Bezdin practically evaluates his zuchus sofik, v'yitnulo, and that's what the witnesses would have to give to him. So that's the end of that challenging Rashi, and hopefully it was clear enough. I'm still myself trying to go through this and getting it better and better, but hopefully that was sufficient. So the next few Rashis now, less complicated. So next Rashi is on Rav Chisda, because now that we've had these two different ways of assessing it, so now this is what the Machlokas and the Gemara is about. Because Rav Chisda Omar Babal, Rav Chisda says that the way you assess it is on the Baal's perspective. Zuchus Feiko Shel Baal, the potential benefit of the Baal, Omdin. We assess. Kama Adam Rotsa Litein Bo, how much a person would want to give for it, for his, or for his portion, for his right. And that amount is what the Zomim pay. So it's based upon the Baal's sale price and how much he's losing based upon that. It would be 50. Rav Nosson said, Be'isha, it's based upon the wife. Zuchus Sefeiko, her potential benefit, Omdin, we assess. V'oso, lo yishalmu, but that amount, as we said, they don't pay. If it's because she could sell it for 40, they don't pay that. Skipping the brackets, v'choma, so rather they give the actually Rashi, it's into the brackets, say v'kol ashar yishalmu, the rest of the amount they pay, v'kol ashar yishalmu, the rest they do pay. I don't know why that's put in brackets, but that we understand is that they don't pay the actual amount that she could sell it for, but it's the rest. V'choma gadol hu etzlon, it's a greater severity for them. The choma, severity, godl, it's a greater severity, or it's a big severity, who it is, etzlon, for them, by the witnesses, because in this analysis, they would have to pay more. And the third opinion is Rav Papa. And the Gemara says that Rav Papa says, Be'isha u'b'kusuvasa, that's the wording of the Gemara, Be'isha u'b'kusuvasa, with the wife and her kusuba. So what does that mean? Rashi explains, Shomin k'Rav Nosson, we assess like Rav Nosson, that it's on the wife's side, her sale price. And upakusuvasa, what does that mean? Upakusuvasa, le yishalmu lo ela ha'odeh b'kusubasa ala ha'domim halalu. And in her kasuba, lo yishalmu lo, they don't pay to him, ela except ha'odeh, the remaining amount b'kusuvasa in her kasuba, al ha'domim halalu, on these monies. It's that remaining amount. All they pay is that remaining amount, the additional amount in the on the monies which the which she could have sold it for, 60. Avolo nichse malug, but they don't pay. The witnesses don't pay nichse malug shalaha nichse malug. So what is this? So in a kasuba. So aside from the main body of the kasuba, the amount which we've been discussing in our example, we've been discussing the 100 zuz, the mona. So that's the ikah hakasuba, the main body of the kasuba. There are other things also which are brought into the marriage contract. So there's the dowry, the nedunya in Aramaic, nedunya, dowry is the amount of money or property which the father of the bride brings in on behalf of the bride into the marriage. Yeah, so let's say, for example, the father owns a house which collects rent, so he could bring that, he could give that to the daughter as the nedunya, as the dowry. Now, that property, if that's written into the kasuba, then that property is called Nichse Tzon Barzel. Rashi doesn't mention this over here, but Nichse Tzon Barzel is called Tzon Barzel. Tzon Barzel means iron sheep. It's very solid, it's very secure property in the hands of the husband. And the value of that property is assessed and put and written into the kasuba. And now the husband takes full responsibility for that. If he dies or they get divorced, then she gets back. The property reverts back to the wife, but only the value that it was assessed at the time of the marriage. So that's the Nichse Tzon Barzel. Now there's another type of property, property which a wife could be coming into the marriage with, but it's not written into the kasuba. It's not written in, and that's called nichse milug. And that's what Rashi's mentioning over here. The word milug means plucking, literally. So it's property which is plucked. Basically, it's property which the wife owns, and it's not in the kasuba, but the husband has the right to pluck from the property if it produces payrus, if it produces rental fees. So he has the right to those property, those payrus, those benefits from the property, but it's not his property. So then, you know, they get divorced, or she dies, or he dies, and it just, you know, it was hers, it always remains hers, and she, so if it goes up in value, that's her appreciation. So it's not in the kasuba. So Rashi's saying that Rav Papa is emphasizing that the only amount that the Edom Zomim pay are only the remaining amount of the Ikka HaKasuba, the main part of the Kasuba, the 60 in our example. But here Rashi says, Avalo Nichse Maluk, but not the Nichse Maluk, not this property which she brings in that the husband benefits from the payrus from. Avalo Nichse Maluk Shalom. V'yafal Pi, and even though Sh'af Nichse Maluk, and even though this Nichse Maluk, Hayimasidanos, they are causing him a loss of, because if they're saying that he divorced her and he's hired to pay a kasuba, well, their marriage is over and he's no longer able to enjoy the payrus of this nechse malug. So that's an additional amount that the Edom Zomim are inflicting upon, an additional amount that the Edom Zomim are causing a loss of to the husband. Shaf nechse malug haimasidunos, because even the nechse malug they're causing him a loss of be'idusan in their testimony. Mela'echol peiros b'chayecha, from eating the peiros, the fruits, in her lifetime. Meliyare shosam, from inheriting her, from the Yerusha. But Moser, in her death. So he says, ein meshalman, they don't pay that. And the reason is, the yecholin lomar, that they're able to say, onu lo hadanu, ela al kasubasa. We did not testify except on her kasuba. Our words were specifically, he didn't pay her the kasuba. He didn't pay her the kasuba. That's all we're testifying about. We didn't know anything about the fact that there was to her nechse malug. So that's nothing to do with our testimony. So don't make us pay for that as well. So that's what Rav Papa is saying. It's specifically the Isha, on the Isha side, like Rav Nosson says. but it's specifically because Subasa in her Kasuba. So I'm going to stop with the Rashi over here. The Rashi goes on to say a different pshat, and I didn't look at this. So I just want to stick with this. This is the enough of a challenging discussion unto itself. So that is that. Okay. But now the Mishnah, now we go on to the next Mishnah, and the Mishnah now goes and says, Me'idin anu b'ish ploni. We testify about a certain individual, shehu chayv l'chaveiro elef zuz, that he is obligated to his friend elef zuz, 1,000 zuz. So we testify that Reuven owes Shimon 1,000 zuz. But it's almanas litnon lo mikan v'adshloshim yom. However, we testify that he owes the 1,000 zuz on the condition litnon to give them lo to him. It's on the condition that he's going to give the money back to him mikan v'adshloshim yom from today until 30 days. So they're saying that he owes Shimon 1,000 zuz on a 30-day loan. For who Omer? But Reuven says back to the court. For who Omer? He says no. Mikan va'ad eseshonim. It is from now until 10 years. It's a 10-year loan. So that's his claim, and it turns out that these witnesses are falsified, and he was right. So the kshayla is that they're saying he owes the money, has to pay the money back in 30 days, and really, in actuality, it's a 10-year loan. So the shaila is, so they're obviously not, you know, making him lose 1,000 zuz, because he's agreeing he has to pay the 1,000 zuz to the person, to Shimon, just that he has a longer time period to pay it back. So how do we assess that amount? How do we assess the damage that the witnesses were trying to cause Reuven? So the Mishnah says, Omdim, we assess. Kama Odom Rotza, how much a person would want Litain to give, Vahiyu Biyodo, so that they should be in his hand, Elef Zuz, the 1,000 zuz. Vahiyu Biyodo, Elef Zuz, that the 1,000 zuz should stay in his hand, Be Nosnon Mikan Ve'ad Shloshim Yom, between, how much would a person want to give to hold on to this 1,000 zuz, between a possibility of Nosnim Mikan Va'ad Shloshim Yom, giving the money back from now until Shloshim Yom, 30 days, or Bein Nosnon, or between giving them back Mikan, between from now Va'ad Eseshonim, until 10 years. So basically, it's how much would a person pay to extend the loan from 30 days to 10 years. And that amount of money is the amount that the witness would have to pay Reuven for their false testimony. So that's the Mishnah. And on this, the Gemara says, Omer Rav Yehuda Mishmul, Rav Yehuda said to Mishmul, Hamalves Chaveiro Le'Eseshonim, a son who lends money to his friend for 10 years, gives him a 10-year loan. So Rav Shmuel says, Shavias Misham Toso. The seventh year, the Shavias, the Shemitah, cancels it out. It cancels the loan out. Because within the 10 years, there's going to be, by definition, is going to have to be a Shavias, and the rule is that the Shemitah cancels all loans. So Shavias Misham Toso, so the borrower gets a good deal over here. The loan gets cancelled. Continuing to the next page. V'yafol Gav, and even though the Hashta, even though right now we're referring to the Shavias, the seventh year, in the seventh year itself, even though that now in the seventh year, Lo Karinan Bay, we do not call out about it, or we don't declare about it. We don't declare about this loan. Lo Yigos, do not press. Yigos means to press, and it's the prohibition against pressing a person for his loan in the seventh year, because the loan gets cancelled. So even though now, regarding this loan, a 10-year loan, in the seventh year, there is no prohibition of lo yigos, because anyway, he can't press him for the loan because it's a 10-year loan. So even though there is no lo yigos, and therefore you may think, Rashi's going to explain this, you may think that
that the Shemitah also doesn't apply. Perhaps the rule of Shemitah canceling the loan goes hand in hand with the prohibition of Lo Yigos not pressing him because it is Shemitah. So maybe they both need to coincide together at the same time, so that if there is no Lo Yigos, there may not be Shemitah as well. So the Gemara says, even though now in the Shemitah year itself, there is no Lo Yigos in this case, because it's a 10-year loan, but says the Gemara, no, so at the end, Asi Lidei Lo Yigos. In the end, it's going to come to the hand of Lo Yigos. It's going to eventually, we don't need the prohibition of Lo Yigos to occur simultaneously in the same year as when the loan is cancelled. Because as long as Lo Yigos can apply at the end of the loan, at the end of the 10-year loans, the 10-year loan, don't press him because why? Because it was already cancelled in the seventh year. That's all fine. And therefore we say that indeed in the seventh year there is the Shemitah does cancel it. Let's see Rashi inside. V'yafal gav dahashlan, even though that now in the seventh year, b'shvius, in the seventh year, lo karinim bay, we don't declare about this loan, lo yigos, don't press him. Why? Shaharei, that behold, in Baal Lenokso, if he did come to press him, below Shavius, without it being the seventh year, Nami in a Yochel. Also, he's not able to, because it's a 10-year loan. So even though we don't say Lo Yigos in this seventh year, Lo Amrina, we do not say, Kivin de Lo Karinim Bay, since we don't declare about it Lo Yigos, Lo Karinim Bay Shmot, we don't declare about it Shemitah, cancel. We don't say that. The Sov, and the reason is that in the end, Sov at the end, Asi Lidei Lo Yigos, it's going to come to the hand of Lo Yigos. And this is the implication, or this is Mishtama Bei Kra. This is how the verse implies about it, I guess. The word Mishtama means Mashma. Bay about it, kra the verse, and this is the implication of the verse. Lo yigos bezmano, don't press the debtor in its time, Esreihu, his friend, don't press bezmano in its time, Esreihu, his friend, he shouldn't press his friend in its time, meaning the debtor, don't press him at the end of the loan, kikara shmita, because kikar shmita kodem lechem, because shmita was declared beforehand. The pasuk actually says. Let's just see where the pasuk is. Find the pasuk. If you look at the pasuk, it should be quoted on the side over here. One second. My Gemara doesn't have the pasuk quoted on the side, and I'm trying to find it myself over here. I don't see where it is. Hold on a second. I apologize. Here we go. It's on the side of the Gemara. It says Zedvar. This is a pasuk in Devar and Tazvav pasuk Bay. Zedvar Shmita. This is the matter of the Shmita Shmot called Baal Mashe Yodo. Cancel. That every lender, every creditor, lo yigos esrei, don't press his friend, ve'es achiv, and his brother, kikar shmita lahashem, because the shmita was called out, the shmita dashem was called out about it. So Rashi is saying that the mashmos of the pasuk is lo yigos esreihu bezmano. I mean, you have to put that in. Don't press him in it. He's saying the mashmos of the pasuk is don't press him in its time. Don't press him when the loan comes due, because shmita was already called beforehand. Kikara shmita, because shmita was already called out. Point being is again that we don't need the simultaneous occurrence of shmita together with lo yigos for shmita to take effect. That's all the Gemara says. That's what Shmuel is saying. The rule is that Shemitah cancels a loan, even if there's another factor which prevents the loan from being collected in the seventh year, because it's a 10-year loan, right? That's the concept. So on this, the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana challenges Shmuel from our Mishnah. Now you'll see the connection to our Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Omdim kama adam rotz litein. We assess how much would a person want to give. V'yiu elef zuz biyado, so that the 1,000 zuz should remain in his hand. Bein litein mekan vad shloshim yom, between to give it from here until 30 days. Bein litein, or between giving, or whether between giving the loan between now and 30 days, or between giving it between now va'ad eser shonim, 10 years. That's what the Mishnah said, that you assess, we assess how much would a person want to pay to have the loan extended for 10 years, and that's how much the Edom Zone would have to pay the person they were testifying against. So now the question is, v'iyomrat, and if you'll say, shvius mishamtoso, if you say the shvius cancels the loan, like Shmuel just says, so kulahu nami boy lishlumilai, the whole thing, everything, also, they would need to pay him. In other words, if we're saying that the Shemitah cancels the loan, so then now the witnesses are testifying that the loan is really, it's a 30-day loan. Originally, the debtor only had a 10-year loan, and he knew in the back of his mind that the Shemitah cancels it according to Shmuel's ruling, and now the witnesses are coming to Bezdin and saying, no, you have to pay within 30 days. Well, that's a massive loss. The entire loan is going to have to be paid to him. So that's what the Edom Zomer would have to pay. So let's see if there's any Rashi there. No Rashi's on there, but that's the Kasha on Shmuel from our Mishnah. So the Mishnah seems to imply that the loan isn't cancelled in the Shemitah, and that's why we have this calculation how much a person would want to pay to have the loan extended. So Moran says, Omar Rava says back, Hocha, but my skinon, here with what are we dealing? That's an abbreviation, Hocha. Hey is for Hocha, here. Beis is b'may, regarding what, with what. Ayin is for askinon, from the word osek, ayin, the root is ayin, samach, kuf, plural, askinon, ayin, samach, kuf, yud, nun, sofis. Hocha, here, b'may, with what, askinon, are we dealing with? That's a common expression referring to a clarification of a case. What are we dealing with over here? We're dealing with a case of a malva ala mashkon, with regard to someone who's lending with a mashkon, or over a mashkon, over a collateral. So that the rule is, that we'll see this in a second, but he's lending, the creditor is lending money with a mashkon, gets a mashkon as a guarantee, as a security for the loan. Or b'mosa shtaros lebezdin, or with regard to someone who is handing over his shtaros, his documents, his actual shtar, the document, lebezdin, to bezdin. The Tana, that we learned in the Mishnah, hamalva al hamashkon, someone who lends with security, v'hamosa shtaros lebezdin, or someone gives over his documents, the documents of the loan, to bezdin, then the rule is a mashmitin. There's no din of shmitah, and therefore that's what the Mishnah could be speaking about, and that has no contradiction to Shmuel. Shmuel's still in a regular situation with mashkon, shtaros not being given to bezdin, and therefore status quo is the shmitah does cancel alone in the seventh year. So Rashi says, Moser shtaros lebezdin. If he hands over his shtaros to Bezdin, so Rashi says, who prusbul? This is the prusbul. Shehiskin Hillel, that Hillel enacted. So the prusbul is the famous document that Hillel enacted to avoid the cancellation of loans in the Shemitah year. That it's the prusbul Shehiskin Hillel, that Hillel enacted. Shekosa bo, that it's written within the actual document, Mosrani lechem ploni uploni hadayonim, I give over to you so and so and so and so hadayonim, the judges, shebemokim ploni, in such and such a location, shekol chosh yeshli, that any debt that I have, sheegavenu, that I'm able to collect it, kolzman sheertzu, any time that I want. So this is the prosbul, and if a person doesn't write up a prosbul and go through this legal process of transferring the debt to the hands of the Bezdin, then indeed the Shemitah would cancel the loans. So Rashi continues, Ein Mashmitin. So once in these cases, the prosbul, according to Rashi, and the lending on a with a security, Ein Mashmitin to Lo Karinim Bei Lo Yigos. We don't declare about such a loan, Lo Yigos. Why? He's not claiming anything. The creditor is not reclaiming anything. Why? Because in the case of lending with a mashkon, with a security, he doesn't need to really press him because he has the mashkon. And in the case of the giving the shtaros to Bezdin, it's not him who's claiming, making the claim. It's Bezdin who would be making the claim. It would be pressing him. So he's not. So the rule of lo yigos is bechlal not present by such a loan, and therefore for that reason the shmita is also not applicable. Okay, so this is version one of the Gemara. The Gemara now continues and says, Ikka de Amri. There are those that say, Amr of Yehuda Mashmuel, the Rabbi Yehuda said in the Mashmuel, Hamalves chaveir las hashanim. Someone who lends his friend for 10 years. Ein shvius meshamtasa. Shvius does not cancel the loan. Ein shvius meshamtasa. The shvius does not cancel the loan, which is the opposite of what we said before. V'yafal gav da'asi li de lo yigos. And even though that it will come to the hand of lo yigos later on, at the end of the loan, but the hashta, however, now, miho, however, lo karinim bei lo yigos. We do not declare about it lo yigos. Well, since right now in the seventh year, lo yigos is not applicable, even though it will come to the situation lo yigos, but since in the seventh year there is no lo yigos, because anyway it's a 10-year loan. So therefore, we don't say shmita either. Therefore, shmita doesn't cancel it. Shmita doesn't cancel it. So it's the exact opposite. And continues the Gemara. Amar of Kahana said, Af anan nami tanina. Even us, even we, also we learnt in the Mishnah. So now the Gemara is going to show that the Mishnah is not just that it wasn't before. It was a challenge on the statement of Shmuel. Now we're going to say it's a support for Shmuel. We learned also in the Mishnah. Omdim tanina. We learned in the Mishnah. Omdim. We assess kamadim roots leitin. We assess how much would a person want to give that the 1,000 zuz should remain in his hand. Between now and 30 days, between giving it from between now and 10 years, it's all the same expression from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that, you know, we assess how much a person would want to pay for the extension of the loan, which implies that the Shemitah didn't cancel it. And if you'll say, Shavias Misham Tosso, that the Shavias would cancel it in the seventh year. So then, kulu nami lay the whole thing, they would have to pay him. And since we see that they don't pay the whole thing, it implies that the shvius is not canceling the loan in the seventh year, which is a support for Shmuel, according to this version of Shmuel. Then the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Omar Rav responds back, you can't bring a concrete proof from our Mishnah. Because hacha b'mayaskinon, here with what are we dealing with? What could the Mishnah be speaking about? The Mishnah could be speaking about a case of malvel and mashkon lending with a mashkon moser shtaros lebezdin, or giving over the shtaros to Bezdin. That's an analog we learned in the Mishnah, malvel mashkon. Someone lends with a mashkon by moser shtaros lebezdin. Someone gives over the shtaros to Bezdin. A mashmitin. We don't, the Shemitah doesn't cancel the loan. So therefore, there's not a proof. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And therefore, you know, really in actuality, could be the Mishnah holds the Shemitah does cancel the loan, but the Mishnah is speaking about the case of giving it to Bezdin or lending it to Mashkon. So the point is that there's two different versions of what Shmuel holds, whether or not Shemitah cancels the loan in the seventh year. And either way, the Mishnah is either not a kasha or not a support for that. And because we could always say that the Mishnah is speaking about lending with a mashkon or giving over the shtaros to Bezdin with a prosbul. Continues the Gemara. another statement by Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. V'omer Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, ha'me'omer l'chaveira, someone who says to his friend, al menas shalo tishmetenei shavias. He lends money to his friend, and he says, on the condition that the shavias should not cancel for me the loan. So he wants to circumvent the cancellation of the loan. He doesn't want shavias to cancel it. So the Gemara says, shavias mishametes. This shavias nonetheless cancels it. He can't make a condition like this to say that the shavias shouldn't cancel the loan. It's an automatic thing. The shavias cancels it. So the Gemara says, lema, shall we say, kasava Shmuel, or let us say, shall we say, that Shmuel's of the opinion, that a masna masha kosa b'torah, that he's conditioning on that which the Torah says. He's masna, he's making a condition from the word tanai, condition, masna, not matana, as it would look like on the surface. It's masna, masna, it's a verb. He's making a condition, al masha kosa b'torah, on what that is written b'torah in the Torah. He's making a condition on what's written in the Torah who he is. That's what this case is. And the rule is, v'chola masna masha kosa b'torah, anyone who makes a condition on that which is written in the Torah, to no'o, his condition is bottle, is null and void. Can't make such a condition. And that's what Shmuel would be holding. Shmuel holds by saying that a person gives a loan and says, I'll tanai that the shavir should not cancel it. It's meaningless to no bottle. His tanai is bottle. You can't make a condition on that which is stated in the Torah. But on this, the Gemara asks, Vaha itmar, and behold, it was stated. It was stated as follows, Ha'om alachaveiro, someone who says to his friend, this is talking about a person selling merchandise to his friend. He says to his friend, Almanas, on the condition she'ein lecha, there is not to you a lie on me, una. Una is price fraud. So he says to his friend, I want to sell you this item, but don't levy any complaints against me that I'm overcharging you. So I want to sell this to you on the condition that I can sell it to you any price I want to sell it to you for without you having a claim of a unah of price fraud against me. And the price fraud, for right now, we'll just say it's over a sixth more than the market value of the item. And if a person sells it for more than a sixth, the sale is null and void. So about such a case, Rav Omer, Rav says, Yesh lo olav unah. Indeed, there is still Onah, there is to him on him, Onah, price fraud, because you can't make such a condition. But Shmuel, Omer Shmuel, says, Ein lo alav Onah, there is not to him on him, Onah. Sounds like Shmuel holds that you can't make such a condition to basically circumvent the rule, the law of the Torah. Shmuel says there's no Onah. So then the question is how come Shmuel says regarding the Shavias cancelling the loan that the Shavias still cancels the loan even if he makes a condition to avoid it? So the Gemara says no. Not a kasha, not a difficulty. Because ha, behold, itma Allah, it was said or stated about it, about that very case, Amar Rav Anan, that Rav Anan said, Lididi, to me, mefarsha lay. Mefarsha, actually, there's a correction on the side there, lay. It says mefarsha lay instead of lay. So, le didi means to me, mefarsha lay, it was explained to me. It's a double expression of le didi, of to me. Le didi, to me, mefarsha lay, was explained to me, mine de Shmuel, from it of Shmuel, from the case of Shmuel. Basically, it's saying that this halacha of Shmuel was explained to me as follows. Almanas, on the condition, she'ein lecha olai unah, if he said to him, on the condition that there is not to you on me unah, a claim of unah, ein lo olav unah, then there is not to him on him unah. If he says to him,
I'm selling you this item on the condition that you don't levy any complaint of onah on me. Then that condition is valid, right? And the person agrees, then there is no onah. But if he says the following, almanas, on the condition, she'ein bo, there is not in it, that this sale is not subject to onah, hariyesh bo onah, there's still onah. In other words, if the stipulation is that the person shouldn't levy a complaint of onah against him, then that's valid. But if his stipulation is there shouldn't be any onah in this sale, that's ridiculous, because by definition there's onah in the sale. So that's what Shmuel was referring to. And indeed, Shmuel holds that you can't make a condition on the Torah, like everyone else holds that. But in this situation over here, he's not making a condition on the Torah, he's making a condition on the individual, that this person shouldn't levy a complaint of onah against him. Hachinami, here also, the Gemara says, Almanas shalotish metene b'shavias, on the condition that you shouldn't cancel me, literally, that you shouldn't cause a cancellation of me, of my loan, b'shavias, in the shavias, ein shavias m'shamtosa, then indeed the shavias will not cancel it. I make a condition with you that if you don't use the law of shavias to cancel the loan against me, then the lender can say that. But almanas, on the condition shalotim shamtani, on the condition that shamtani shavias, that the shavias itself should not cancel for me the loan, then that's ridiculous. That's making a tanai on the Torah. Shavias m'shamtosa, the shavias cancels it, and it has no effect. So let's see Rashi over here. So Rashi says, so that's going on the line in the Gemara after we brought the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel about Unah, and Shmuel said that a person can make a condition regarding Unah, which seemed to be a contradiction to what he said about Shemitah. So then Rav Onan said that the Farshali minei de Shmuel, that it was explained to me the din, or the statement, the din of Shmuel, and as follows. The Rashi says, Shamas no mashakosa b'Torah to no kayim, that someone who makes a condition on that which is written in the Torah, his tanai is kayim, his tanai stands or is fulfilled. Because that's the implication of what Shmuel says, because Shmuel said that if you make a condition that there's no onah, there's no onah. So it sounds like the tanai is kayim. Vim omar lo, says Rashi, but if he said to him, al menash ein bo onah, that there is not in it onah, ein zeh masna, this is not making a condition, sheyimchol lo onah so, that he's able to forgive for him his onah. Elohu hisna imo, rather he's conditioned with him, he's made a condition with him, she'en onehu b'mechah zeh, that he's not causing him fraud or pain, onah means pain literally, that he's not hurting him with this mecha, with this sale. That's what he's saying by saying there's no onah in it. But that's not true. Vaharei, and behold, on a road we see sheyesh bo onah, that there is in it onah. Ubahai, and in this situation, moda Shmuel would agree. Sheyesh lo olav onah, that there is to him, on him, onah. There is onah in that situation when he's saying, because he can't make a condition to say there is no onah. By definition, there is onah in it. So Hachanami here also with the case of Shavias. Imamalo, if he said to him, now the words, there's a bit of a correction over here. The words I have over here in my text is Lova Hilvene, but if you look on the side there, there's a correction. It says Hamalva Almanas. So we're going to read it as Hamalva Almanas. Imamalo Hamalva, if the Malva said to him, the Malva is the lender, the lender said to him, Almanas, on the condition, Shalotin Shvetene, Ata B'Shvias, on the condition that you don't cancel for me, you don't cancel me, for me the loan, B'Shvias, in the seventh year, Tanaihu Zeh, this is a good condition. V'Yafal Pisha Hisna Al Mashakos B'Torah, and even though he's made a condition on that which is written in the Torah, to know Kayim, his condition stands. Aval im amalo, but if he said to him, al menash lo tishmeteini b'shavias, on the condition that the shavias should not cancel for me the loan, then Hashavias Eina Masura Biyado, the Shavias is not handed over, Masura Biyado, into his hand, Lahasnos, to make a condition regarding. Shalutah Shavias Mishametes, that the Shavias should not cancel the loan. Lefikach, therefore, Ein Kan Tanai. There is not over here a condition. So that wouldn't work. So that explains that. So continues the Gemara. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Hamalves Chaveiro Stam. Someone who lends to his friend Stam, plain. So he just does a loan with his friend. He doesn't specify how long the loan is. It's a plain loan. Eina Rashai Latova Pachos B'Shloshim Yom, the Braisa says. He's not allowed to claim it in less than 30 days. He can't claim the loan in less than 30 days. A Stam loan is Mishloshim Lamed Shloshim Yom, 30 days. Sova Rabba Barbachona. Rabba Barbachona reasoned, Sova, Kamei de Rav, in front of Rav, Lemeimar, to say, Honi Mile, Hey Mem is Honi Mile, these words, Mile or words, Honi Mile, these words, are Bemilva Bishtar, regard a Milva Bishtar, a loan written in a shtar, in a document. And the reason is, and this we say that a stam loan is 30 days, is only a milva bishtar, a loan written in a document. The lo avid inish de torach de kosav shtar botzim etzlos in yom. I'll say what this means outside first. A person wouldn't bother writing a shtar for less than 30 days, for a loan for less than 30 days. To write a shtar up, at least in those days, it was a bit of an asik, a bit of an involvement. So a person wouldn't write a shtar for a loan only for less than 30 days. Let's read this inside. Delo avad inish, that a man, an inish is a man, delo avad inish, a man would not be, avad would not be, avad means to do, but let's say here, we could translate it as, it's not common for a man, to torach, that he would toil, that he would make an effort, to kosav, that he would write, a shtar document, botze, for less, botze means less, mitzlosin yomin, from 30 days, tlosin is Aramaic for 30, from 30 days. A person wouldn't write a shtar for a loan for less than 30 days. Aval milver alpeh, but a loan done alpeh, done orally, done by the mouth, an oral loan, lo. No, it wouldn't be the case. There's an oral loan, a verbal loan, could be less than 30 days if it wasn't specified. So a stam loan, being 30 days, only applies to a written loan. Omalei Rav. Rav said back to Rabba Baba Chana, who was saying this in the first place. He said back to him, he says, no, he says, Hochi Omar Chabibi. This is what my... Now, Chabibi means, it's very common, it's a very common Israeli expression. But if you look at Rashi over here, Chabibi means my beloved, literally. But Rashi says, Targum shal Dodi. It's the translation, the Aramaic translation of Dodi, of my uncle. Reb Chiya, Achi Aviv Hoya. Reb Chiya was the brother of his father, he was. Rav's uncle was Reb Chiya. And that's what... That's who Rav is referring to. So back in the Gemara, Amalei Rav, Rav said to him, he says, no, Hochi Oma Chabibi, my uncle said to me, this is what my uncle said, Echad Amilva Bishtar, regardless of Amilva Bishtar, V'Echad Amilva Alper, regardless of Amilva Alper, was literally one is a Milva Bishtar alone, or someone who lends with a Shtar, V'Echad, and one is Hamalva Alper, the one who lends orally, a verbal loan. So it means the same. It's the same thing, regardless of a malva bishtar, a malva alper, a written loan or a verbal loan. It doesn't make a difference. A stam loan is always going to be 30 days, regardless of the kind of loan it is. And the Gemara corroborates this with a brisa. Tanya na mihochi. We learned also this in a brisa. Hamalves chaveiro, someone who lends his friend stam, plain, without specifying the length of the loan, Eina Rishai Latovo Pachos B'Shloshim Yom. He's not permitted. Eina Rishai. He's not permitted Latovo to claim it Pachos B'Shloshim Yom in less than 30 days. Echad Hamalva B'Shtar, regardless of someone who lends with a shtar. V'Echad Hamalva Alpeh, regardless of someone who lends Alpeh verbally. So here you have a brace explicitly stating that. So Stam loan is 30 days. Omale Shmuel L'Rav Matana. Shmuel said to Rav Matana, he said to him the following, Lo seisiv a karoch ad the mefreshes la lahoshmaita. Lo seisiv, don't sit a karoch on your legs. Don't sit down, basically. A karoch, don't sit down on your legs. Ad the mefreshes until you explain la, explain it, lahoshmaita, that teaching, menaha milsa, from where is that milsa matter? The Amar Rabbanan, that the Rabbanan said. It's a long sentence, but basically he's saying, don't sit down until you explain to me this teaching. Adam Mefresh, I'll read it again. Adam Mefresh is lo lahoshmaita, until you explain that teaching. Menaha, from where is this milsa, this matter, this din, this halacha? The Amar Rabbanan, the Rabbanan said, that Hamalva is chaver stam, that someone who lends his friend stam, Ein Rishai Latovo, possible Shloshim Yom. He's not allowed to claim it in less than 30 days. Echad Amalva B'Shtar, regardless of Amalva B'Shtar, V'Echad Amalva Alpeh, regardless of someone who lends Alpeh verbally. What's it, where does it come from? Omalei, see, he said back to him, Diksiv, as it says in the verse, regarding the Shemitah, the Pasuk says, Kar V'Shnas HaShav V'Shnas HaShemitah, when the seventh year comes close, the Shnas HaShemitah, the year of the Shemitah, and the Pasuk says there, that in that year, you can't claim your debts back, what you've lent, you can't, the loans are cancelled. So, but the Pasuk says, uses two expressions to describe that year. It talks about the Shnas HaSheva, the seventh year. It also talks about the Shnas HaShemitah, the Shemitah year. So the Gemara says, Mamashma, from what is heard, Shenema, that is said, Karva Shnas HaSheva, that the seventh year is close, Eina Yedeya, do I not know, Shehi Shnas HaShemitah, that it's also the Shemitah year? In other words, why does the Pasuk have to say both things, Shnas HaSheva and Shnas HaShemitah? The Mashma, from that which is heard literally, that is said, Karva Shnas HaSheva, the seventh year is close, do I not know, Eina Yedeya, Shehi Shnas HaShemitah, it's the Shemitah year? So why? What's the meaning of this redundancy of Shnas HaShemitah? Ela rather, Ma Talmud Lomar, what is being taught to say in saying Shnas HaShemitah by adding in Shnas HaShemitah? Lomalocha, to tell you, Ye Shemitah Acheres, that there is a different Shemitah, another Shemitah, Shehi Kazu, that is like this one. Meaning that there's another Shemitah year, so to speak, we'll see what that means in a second, that is like the regular Shemitah year. There's another Shemitah, another year of where you cannot collect your debts, that is like this one, like the true seventh year that you can't collect your debts in. Ve'ezuzu, and which one is this one? What year is there? What other year is there where you cannot collect your debt, like the regular Shemitah year? It is Hamalves Chaver Stam, someone who lends his friend Stam plain without specifying a length. Shena Rishada Tova Pachos B'Shloshim Yom, the one is that he's not allowed to collect it, to claim it, in less than 30 days. So that's a year, that 30 day period, the 30 day Stam, the Stam loan, which is for 30 days, is called a year. It's like a colloquial, not colloquial, it's metaphorically called a year in which you can't collect your loan, like a regular Shemitah year. Now, why would you call a 30 days a year? As follows, the Omar Mar, that the Master said, Shloshim Yom B'Shana, the 30 days inside a year, is Choshev Shana. It's considered, in certain respects, like a year, has a status of a year. A 30-day period has a legal status of a year. I'm not sure what other contexts we say that, but over here, we do say it. That a 30-day period is like a year, and that's what the Pasuk is alluding to by adding in the Shnas HaShemitah. So there are essentially two types of year in which you can't collect your debts, the regular Shemitah year, and also a 30-day year as well, in which, because a Stam loan is 30 days.
Another statement by Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Ha-poseach beis ha-tzavar b'shabbos. Someone who opens up literally a beis ha-tzavar, a beis ha-tzavar is a neckline, like a neck hole in a garment. The word tzavar means neck. Base is house, the house of a neck. What's the house of a neck? A space, a gap, a hole in a garment to put your head through. Let's say you have a garment or a piece of material and there's no neck hole inside of it, and the person tears it open and makes a hole inside the garment to put his head through a neckline. B'Shabbos, on Shabbos, Chayav Chatas, he's Chayav Chatas. That's a melocha. It's a melocha of Rashi says, Peser Beisat Savish Asa Peh L'Cholok. He makes a mouth to a cholok chadosh, to a brand new garment. Cholok is a shirt or a garment. Chayov, he's chayev. Rashi says shetiken kli, because he has fixed up a kli. He's made a kli. He's fixed a kli. He's fixed up a kli. So next part of Rashi is I don't know what that is actually. I'm going to read the rest of the Rashi there. Seems to be talking about a different subject, okay? But we call it a tikkun mana, the fixing of a kli. So a person makes a neck line in a garment on Shabbos, he's chayav chatas, a sin offering, because it's a malacha. So frak the Gemara, maskiv lor of kahana. If kahana challenged this, he asked the kasha on this. Maskiv means a kasha, difficulty. The chima bein zel mugufas chavis. He says, the chima bein zel. And what is the difference between this and a mugufas chavis? A mugufas chavis is the word mugufa is like a covering, a seal of a barrel. How is this different? He says, the word means a question mark. Ma bein zeh, what is the difference between this, le megufas chavis, and a seal of a barrel? The din is, a seal of a barrel, Rashi says, now look at the next Rashi there, v'chi ma bein zeh le megufas chavis, the amrinan that we say, the perek chavis, that we say in perek chavis, shenishbura, that's the name of the perek in Shabbos, literally chavis shenishbura, the barrel that got broken, the matiz rosha b'shabbos b'sayiv, that a person may puncture, matiz, may puncture Rosh, its top, b'Shabbos, on Shabbos, b'Sayiv, with a sword. Liftoach as a chavis, to open up the barrel. In other words, you're allowed to break open the barrel on Shabbos by peeling up, by tearing away the seal of the on the barrel, which looks like it could be classified as being a tikkun mana, like, you know, the clear, the vessel, the barrel is completely inaccessible, the contents are inaccessible, there's a strong seal of the top of the barrel, on the barrel with the lid, and, you know, you're breaking it off, that's called that could be classified as a tikkun mana, fixing up of the clay to use the clay now to access the contents of the clay. So the man says, no, Amalei, he said back to him, Zeh chibo v'zeh nechibo. The difference is, this is attached and this is not attached. Meaning to say, Rashi says, Zeh, the base at Savar, the neckline, making the hole in the garment, hechibor, that's a full-fledged chibor, attachment. Meaning to say, the material is completely fundamentally attached to the rest of the garment because there's no hole there to begin with. Hilkach, Pesach, the opening created is a tikkun chadash, is a brand new tikkun, a brand new fixing. Who? Zeh, this is. Aval magufa, but the top of the seal on the top of the barrel, afal pishu hi tucha al pia chavis, betit, even though the word tucha means to shmir, he's shmired on the opening of the barrel, betit, with cement, with a cement type of material, and it's mamish attached to it very tightly, ein zechibo, that's not called a full-fledged attachment, v'havila kepesucha v'umedes, and it's considered, v'havila, it means it's considered, kepesucha, like it's open v'umedes and standing, it's already opened and standing, so therefore it's not called a malacha, and therefore one would not be chayav for that on Shabbos. So we're going to stop over here with this daf, because the next a few more lines of this Amud, but it flows into the next page significantly. So I'm going to save this for the next recording. Okay, Hatzlacha Rabbah.